heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore.
For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth, unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore.
Well, welcome everyone. Praise God. It's good again to be together in the room and to have fellowship. Praise God. And I trust that we are all blessed in the Lord and looking up as our redemption draws near. For the times are very serious. And we are seeing events now, things unfolding. Things are moving very, very quick, very rapidly. And these are all the signs that Jesus spoke of that we are to observe and see in the last days, particularly as he spoke in Matthew 24. And we have the Holy Spirit, and we have his leading, his guidance, and he's showing us all of these things so that we can prepare, so that when he comes for the overcomers, the first fruits, to take the overcomers away, the rapture, we're not caught unawares. He doesn't come as a thief in the night to us, because we've prepared, we've made ourselves ready, which is what the bride is doing. Praise God. Well, I'd like to exhort today in a message, and I'm calling our teaching today Made Whole and Preserved. Made Whole and Preserved. I think we tend to forget that what God has created and made has to be preserved and kept. Particularly as man has fallen into sin, how much more then is the preservation of God needed in our lives, in the world, in the universe, everything that which he spoke into being. But we have to remember that the fall of man has put a limit now onto it. It is no longer eternal, which God intended it to be. The scriptures clearly tell us that he will fold, he will wrap up the whole world right at the end. And the idea of this is like rolling up a scroll, when Jesus will be all in all, and he will hand back what he has done, what God has done through his Son Jesus Christ. All will be handed back and given back to the Father for his glory. That is the redemptive work of God since man fell. And so our eternity is, of course, in heaven, and the new Jerusalem that will come down, that is eternal and will last forever and ever. But even though the world is moving rapidly toward judgment, there is still a preservation that God places. And there's also a preservation upon us, and that's really what I want to look at this evening. I think we are not aware always of this preservation, what is entailed with this preservation, how God preserves and how he keeps us. We all of us have testimonies, don't we, of God's protection over our lives. I would say that most of us would not be here tonight in this room had it not been for God's protection, God giving his angels charge over us, preserving and keeping us, because we know that we are a threat to the powers of darkness, and the enemy has tried many times in which to get rid of us, to destroy us, because that is his nature. But God is always one step ahead for the very purpose that he has a remnant, for the very purpose that the gospel still must be proclaimed, and that his light, the light of Calvary, the cross, must still shine in this world of darkness, because it seems outwardly in the natural so very few are interested. And not only that, but the tragedy we find amongst those who confess Christ as their Saviour, we're finding today that they're burying their heads in the sand. They can't even handle Bible prophecy. And if you start to talk about the end times and that the Lord's coming soon, they just go cold on you and give you a funny look as though you're an extremist or there's something odd, peculiar about you. If there's ever a parable that we are seeing unfolded amongst Christendom in our circles, I believe it to be the parable of the 10 virgins. We all know this parable. And if you've not looked at it recently, you look at it again and let the Lord speak to you through this. There are 5 wise and 5 foolish. And you notice the difference. They're all virgin, which speaks of the new birth, a new nature. But 5 are doing something that the foolish, the 5, are not. And it's their vessels and the oil. They have both. And God has shown us the oil, the vessels, is the oil of anointing, the oil of preparation, the word, making oneself ready, not falling asleep like the foolish virgins fall asleep, waiting for the coming of the bridegroom. There is something that God has placed within our heart and nature that won't let us fall asleep. And I thank God for that, because I see a lot around me who are asleep spiritually. And they don't want to see, they don't want to know, they don't want their everyday life and routine affected. But you know, when God comes into your life, and he comes into your life in power, baptizing you in the Holy Spirit, you are never the same. Because the power of God is moving us on. He won't let us remain static. He won't let us remain like the children of Israel did in the wilderness when they said, "Wish to God that we had perished back in the wilderness." He's going to preserve and protect us from that, because he's placed within our hearts a good report, like Joshua and Caleb, when they came back with the spy, the elders, and they professed a good confession. They proved that they were believing. They proved that they had a vision. They could see beyond the natural, the carnal. Brothers and sisters, that's what God is doing with you and me. How is it that we see? How is it that we know? How is it that we get this preparation, this quickening within our lives? It's because of God's love and mercy over your life and my life. What have we done to deserve any of this? Nothing. It's his mercy, his grace. And so he's moving us on. Because there is a land to be possessed. Because at the moment the enemy has taken it. And it doesn't belong to him. They're trying to remove the Jews from Israel. Because they say it doesn't belong to them. But it does. It's their inheritance. The same as you and I have an inheritance in Jesus Christ. And the enemy is a thief. He's out to rob and to steal. That's why I spoke so ardently on Sunday about the violent taking the kingdom by force if need be. God is working that spirit within us because we cannot let the enemy rob us, steal from us what God is giving to us and showing us in these last days. And that is why I'm calling our teaching today Made Whole and Preserved. What does it say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, which says here, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." There is God's preservation over your life. And he has come through the Holy Spirit, empowering, baptizing us for that very purpose, to make us whole. That word whole means to be complete, a completed work in spirit, not just in the inner man, your heart, but also your soul, which is you, the person, your personality, and your body, your flesh, be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a promise that God has given there through the Apostle Paul. And that promise is still the same today as when given nearly 2,000 years ago. It doesn't change. That is why the whole work of the Holy Spirit is his work, is to work in these deep regions of our personality, in our heart, which you cannot get to, which doctors cannot get to, which psychologists and psychiatrists cannot get to. Only God can get to those deep crevices in our life and heart and being. That's why the Word of God is like that two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. That is the nature of God's Word. Nothing else can do that. Medical science cannot do that. A psychiatrist cannot do that. Only God can get to the heart of man. The heart is your very soul, your very nature, your very core. That is what it means. That is why he's the God of every experience that we go through. That inner work in our lives. If you want to know the inner work of God in your life, in your heart, I suggest you read Psalm 139. I believe after this teaching, you will be very blessed in reading that psalm. And this is where, in our preservation, this is where the blood of Jesus comes in and cleanses and covers our sin. That is God's preservation. That is why the blood of the Lamb is ever cleansing, ever flowing, ever powerful. That is the nature of the blood of Jesus. Not only just saves you, born again, but continues to cover our weaknesses, areas where we don't see yet, or when and we sin or fall short. How the blood of Jesus covers, preserves, brings us back into union with Almighty God. That is the preservation of God in your life and my life. And thank God for this. It means that I can continue walking with God and that God can continue that work with me as we keep our eyes on Him and walk in the light as He is in the light. That is what God is doing in you and I. We're going to find, as we are drawing closer and closer to all of this, we are going to see that God has preserved a remnant in these last days that is not compromising with the spirit of this age, that is not compromising on the word of God, who holds to God's word and God's ways, who loves the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and very being. He has a remnant preserved for that. They're the overcomers. They are the first fruits. Do you know that the first fruits of the harvest are to be brought in before Almighty God? They are to be presented to God. You are first fruits. And that is a sign of the harvest that is going to follow. We know through the tribulation, when the judgments are falling, there will be a great harvest that will come through in that time. But look what they have to go through in order to be purged and purified. God is showing a way of escape for us, so we don't have to go through that. This is why we go through our trials now and our testings. That perfecting work that He's doing in our life and heart and character. But the Word of God is absolutely clear that He makes us whole in mind and body. That is why we know that the word of God is the seed of which God plants into our hearts. And you know, a harvest cannot be reaped if there's no seed that is planted. And who attacks the seed that is planted? You guessed it, the enemy. He's there to snatch it away. That's why Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. That is what God does as seed is sown into your heart and it takes root. You will find that the word of God starts to set you free more and more and more because it is truth. There is no blemish, there is no lie in God's pure holy word. It is truth. And it is the very seed of that word that is sown into our hearts that God can reap a harvest. And out of every harvest under the old covenant, first fruits were always presented upon the altar of the Lord to show what was to follow. So we see, don't we, that God is always one step ahead from the enemy who's trying to steal that seed or trying to trick us or work the world within our hearts or harden our hearts. He's always trying to attack us for the very purpose, because he knows the seed of God's word is being sown into our hearts. That is why we hold so strongly to Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing the word of God, because we know that without faith it is impossible to please God, Hebrews 11:6. You see, God does nothing without his word. Remember that. There is nothing in your life that will happen if the word of God has not been sown into your heart. If the word of God is not being sown into your heart, you won't even be here tonight in this room listening to this, because you won't be interested. So the sowing of the word of God, the seed of his word into our hearts, is absolutely paramount. Jesus said, didn't he, that he sent his word and it healed them. They were healed because they heard the word of God. That is why Jesus was also a teacher. But they had to hear the teaching. They had to hear the word of God. They had to hear the faithfulness of God in order for faith to be sown in their hearts to be healed. And it's the same principle that works today. It is no different. Whatever you receive of God, whatever provision, whatever healing in your life comes as a result of hearing the word of God, the promises of God's word, that word sown into your hearts. That is how God does it. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 107, verse 20. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and he healed them and delivered them from their destructions. There you are. So your walk every day, your experience of the Lord, his work in your life has come and is coming as a result of the seed, the seed of his word being sown into your hearts. That's why all his work is done in faithfulness to his promises. You see, God's word is for man's soul and body. And we have to remember this, and this is why we hold also to divine healing. It's not just to the soul, to the inner man. Of course that is important. That is paramount. That is where it starts. It always starts within the heart. And rightly so, because that is the harvest, that is the field, that is the nature of man, that is the seat of his emotions, the heart, that is you. And that is where he sows that seed. But he hasn't forgotten your body. Our bodies are also to glorify the Lord as well. That's why I don't hold to this teaching today, well, healing is if it be thy will. Well, find out what the will of God is. That is the question, because it's in the word of God. It is all there. And people don't want to spend the time to study the word of God and to find these promises, which are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. They are there. What does it say in 1 Peter chapter 2? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. You know this very well. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. The stripes, the 39 stripes of Christ, were for the whole man, mind, body, and spirit. And we must never forget this. Now, should this inspire us to trust him? Well, of course it should. The Word of God has a way in which it stirs us up. It challenges us. It causes us to question our motives. The Word of God is a deliverance where maybe we have wrong thinking, wrong attitudes in our mind or heart towards things. That is the nature. That is why it's a sword, for that very purpose. And the Word of God should always challenge us, should always cause us to seek him. Because that is the nature of it. What does it say in Hebrews 10? Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 and 36. Hebrews 10, 35 to 36. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And it goes on about his coming and so forth. You see, that is why we don't always get everything straight away. And that's why we lose heart. And we turn to other things. And that is our big problem. But you see, God's always on time. God is never late. And whatever your needs, whether it is physical, spiritual, financial, or whatever it would be, the picture is always much bigger than what you are seeing. We are so self-centered, we are so honed in to this problem, or my need, or my healing, or whatever it is, that we fail to see that when God blesses, when God manifests his promise to us, it's always in the nature of redemption. It is redemptive in nature. And very, very often, it speaks to others. It affects others. When people are healed divinely, and they are, and they will, it affects others because they see the power of God healing the sick. When they see you going through a trial and you're standing through this trial and confessing God's faithfulness in this trial, they see the mighty hand of God in your life. They acknowledge there's something preserving and keeping you. That is why it's always a bigger picture. You and I don't see it so often, but the world sees it out there. As I say so often, they don't read their Bibles, but they read the Christians. And it's always for the glory of God. What does it say in Hebrews 6, verses 11 to 12? Hebrews 6 and verses 11 to 12. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. What promises? The promises of God. Are you standing on the promises of God? Are you believing? Are you waiting to see promises fulfilled? Are you believing, trusting for your family, your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter, or whatever it is? And we know, don't we, that when we stand on the promises of God, when we start to confess by faith, what happens outwardly in the natural, it all goes worse. It goes from bad to worse. Well, what is that? That's the giants of the land. That's the mountains. That's the seas to cross. And how the enemy uses all of that to try and dishearten us, to try and get us to procrastinate, and so on. You know, you've been through it. But these promises are very real, brothers and sisters. You see, these divine promises make our lives steadfast, immovable. That is how God is getting you to keep faithful, steadfast, immovable, abounding in the Lord. He's doing it because of these divine promises that he's given through Jesus Christ to you and me. They are his gift to us. Yes, even in this life. And that's why I'm a great believer when the word of God is taught and preached through the anointing, that the word must be health to our soul and body and mind. That is what I always pray and ask God for in my ministry, that they will receive wholeness in mind, body and spirit. Else I have failed as a preacher. That is why the word must become health to our flesh. That is why the word speaks to sickness, to oppression, those things that we battle with. You see, we're told not to let the word depart from our eyes, to keep it in the midst of your heart. That's what the word of God says. Don't let the word depart from your eyes. Keep it in the midst of your heart. Let it be your life, your meditation, your inspiration, exhortation. Let it be there. And that is a lot of the reason. That is why things don't always work in our life, or we battle this unbelief, or we become despondent because I thought I was in faith. Here's the problem. You're letting the word depart from you. And don't. Don't let it depart from your eyes. Keep it in the midst of your heart. Let it be your meditation. Because I believe this is the key to wholeness in mind and body. This is the key to how we're made whole and preserved in this life. I am convinced of this. I would base my ministry on this principle. You see, the life that preserved is the very same life that preserved and kept our Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry. It is the same Spirit who worked through him, who raised him from the dead, is the same very Spirit that works with you and I. It doesn't change. The very experience that we are experiencing, the very message that we are hearing, the very touches of God in our life, the way he leads and guides us, preserves and keeps us, that is the same Spirit that worked through Jesus in his flesh, who's working through you and I now, this very moment. He is no different. The love that he had for his son and the preservation he had for him is the same love and preservation he has for you and I as well. That's why we walk like Jesus. That is why we decrease, that he increases in our lives. The very same principle he walked by. We know that he said, I can do none of these things except it be revealed by my Father in heaven. He didn't know. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know what to say. He didn't know who to heal or to raise from the dead. He said, I hear that which the Father reveals. I do that which he shows me. And that is how you walk and I walk. Because otherwise, the mind cannot understand. It will never understand. That is why we put on the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ, our minds being renewed by the Spirit. And it comes by the Word of God, as that seed is sown within our hearts. That is why I say so often, the parable of the sower is one of the greatest parables Jesus spoke. Because that tells you everything there. When you read that parable, it tells you why the church is like it is. Why a lot of Christians who profess Christ are like they are. That parable tells you, it's like a spiritual thermometer. A great parable. And so, the way Jesus walked by the Spirit of God is the same how we walk as well. What does it say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13, as I bring this now to a conclusion? Remember that we're talking this evening about being made whole and preserved. The whole person, the whole man. 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 13. So that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. And that is the work he's doing, brothers and sisters, in you and I, as he's preparing us. He's establishing us, he's establishing our hearts, he's worked through us so that we are blameless in holiness, because the accuser of the brethren, he's there, the enemy's there trying to accuse, trying to find fault in us, but the Lord's one step ahead all the time, that your hearts are blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with his saints. So again, all of these things speak so much, don't they, about the end times of which we're in. We're so near now to the coming of the Lord. What does it say in Psalm 121? Psalm 121 and verse 7. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Here it is again, the preservation of God. Thank God he's with you. He gives his traveling mercies over you. He preserves you from evil. The evil one. That's what he does. We sometimes have walked into a situation where there is evil, and suddenly God turns us around. He turns the circumstances. He preserves you from the devil, from the evil one who's trying to trip you up. Is that not a promise? The promises of God? Of course it is. You're going out and you're coming in from this time forth and forevermore. So you're going out and you're coming in will be preserved in this life and forevermore into eternity. There is the preservation of Almighty God over our lives. What does it say in Proverbs 16 and verse 17? Proverbs 16 and verse 17. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He who keeps his way preserves his soul. So there we are. We also have to be obedient to the Lord. We yield to him. We allow the Spirit to work in and through us. Instead of resisting him, just let him have his way. And he says, He who keeps his way preserves his soul. So it's worth yielding to the Lord, doing it his way, because that is what preserves you. That is his preservation over you, you see. A lot of the trouble we have in Christendom is that Christians want to do their own thing. They want Christ on their terms. And it never happens. It never will. You either take him as Lord or you don't. They want him as Saviour. Oh yes. All very emotional and cry their way into the kingdom and renounce their sin. And yes, that has a place, don't get me wrong. But the moment a preacher starts to talk about Christ as Lord, you start losing them, because Lord means master. Master of what? Master over your life. That's why it's Romans 12, 1 and 2. Present yourselves as a holy sacrifice, a living sacrifice on that altar. You give yourself to God. You're not your own anymore. You've been bought with a price. I'm now his property, and he does what he wants with me. A lot of Christendom doesn't want to hear that one. And yet, that is absolutely clear in the scriptures. It has to be, if he's to preserve and keep us whole in mind, body, and spirit. I believe we will see these sicknesses go. We will see healing, the raising up. It is there. And as I close, I believe that God will preserve us as we are beginning to see these diseases and these pestilences that are coming upon the earth. And if we think that we've seen coronavirus, I'm afraid I've got news for you, we've not seen anything yet that's coming. How are you and I going to walk until the Lord comes for us? Are we going to stand and trust in the promises of God? Or are we going to listen to all these evil reports and all this unbelief? God has made no mistake over you and I. He is preserving and he's keeping us, because he has a remnant unto himself for these last days. And that remnant is the overcomers, the first fruits. And that remnant, the overcomers, is the one who's going to follow the Lamb wherever he goes throughout eternity. They will always be with him by his side. And they will come back in the millennium as well to rule and reign with him also. For that to happen, God has to preserve. Don't hinder the preserving work of God in your life. Just simply believe with that childlike faith. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your love and grace and mercy. Thank you that you first loved us. We didn't choose you, you chose us before eternity. And Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters who are here tonight in this room, Lord, that the seed of your word will continue to sow in their hearts. Father, don't let their eyes and heart depart from the word of God. Let it be their meditation. Let it be their spiritual food. Father, I pray that you will work with them, that they walk by faith and not by sight in these last days, that you will keep them from the evil one, from sickness, disease. Father, I believe that you preserved us, that we should stand in these last days, because we're seeing so many now falling away or compromising. But Lord, in your mercy and grace, we have set our heart, our face like a flint toward the kingdom of God. Help us, Lord, to look to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, bless you all. Thank you. It's good to have fellowship with you, and thank you for those monitoring this evening. I trust that you all have a blessed week, and the room will be open again on Sunday morning, 10:45. That is UK time, 10:45. That is the room open on Sunday. And our meeting Sunday will be in Andover. So until then, every blessing to you all.
Smite you by day, nor the moon by night.